around. You know what that means? Time for a little bit more Tasty Live with this Confirm and Send. But before we do, let's take a quick look at the market. Even the S&P is up 38 as foretold. NASDAQ up 160. Russell up 26. Dow up 226. Volatility in by 35 cents, 1535. Bond down 14, but again, well off of their lows. I think they got down to what? Under 113, right? Yeah, 112.27 or so about two, 3 days ago. Bitcoin catching a bid also 58.7. I'm talking about Bitcoin Cash here. Oil up 30 cents up today. Been weak the last 3 or 4 days, marginally up by 30 cents right now. Gold unchanged at 23.10, trying to catch its footing too. We had a couple of earnings, which you talked about. Moderna was up around 1 or 2. Is it still there? mRNA. Let's see. Yeah, it looks unchanged, up small. And Qualcomm up 8.
Yeah, I didn't really play
my Moderna position after 32 roll size with a 70 cent loss. I asked you yesterday if it was worth it. If you could have told me that the earnings were going to be unchanged, I would have stayed in it and been profitable. I blame you.
All right. It's Thursday, May 2nd. And here we go, spinning out of the turn. Kentucky Derby weekend.
Are you going?
No. I don't know if I'll ever go to the Kentucky Derby again, but I did enjoy the 2 times I was there.
So you enjoyed yourself, so you figured you shouldn't go back anymore.
No, I enjoyed myself. I don't know if I'll go back. But I
it was too much fun. No. You're having fun. You don't like to have fun.
It's a lot of work to go to the Kentucky Derby. It's a lot of work. I mean, it's a lot of work. It's not like an easy in, easy out, fly in, fly out type thing. It's a lot of work. But both times I went, it was great. And I enjoyed it. I didn't cash one ticket. I've been to Churchill Downs twice.
Anybody watches the show, that should not surprise them.
I did not cash one ticket in 2 trips to Churchill Downs. And I did it the fancy way.
You bet the field.
I should have, just to cash a ticket. And both times I was in the fancy places, so, you know.
Oh, of course you were.
So, like, I can't even imagine doing it the other way. Oh, my God. It's a lot of work.
Do you go down there as, like, Prince Tom or something?
Oh, yeah.
Like
yeah, I mean, and mingle with the common folk in the infield? Sure. Sure. I did. The first time I went, we were in the infield, but we were in one of those tents, you know, whatever. And in the tent next to me was Danica Patrick and a whole crew of race car drivers. And
you lost your wife that night.
Yep. But it was fun. I really enjoyed the infield. It's fun. When do you roll futures? Not the options, but the futures themselves.
When Tasty tells me to. About a week.
Okay, that is actually the answer.
That is the answer.
I know that sounds crazy, but futures are not like...
you don't keep track of it, like when do I have to roll? No.
Futures options, we roll 21 days before expiration. With futures themselves, they all have different expirations. Like the index futures are standardized, and they always roll 1 week before expiration. That's the Dow, the NASDAQ, the Russell, and the S&Ps. But everything else is weird. And they have different dates. So what happens is there's 2 ways to know. One, when we change the watch list, that's when you can roll. Because we update the watch list. And when your watch list changes, that's when you roll. Or when you get an email from us that says it's the first roll date, that's when you roll. So we send out an email. I think we're one of the only firms that sends out an email with respect to futures rolls. But when you want to roll futures, it's when we send out the email. And or when we update the watch list, like to give you an idea, bonds like ZBs and ZN, they roll 31 days before expiration. You know, so like if you're at a June expiration,
and smoke it.
Yeah. And then if you know, natural gas rolls, whatever, I'm sorry, some of the futures will roll like crude oil. I think it's like 14 days. They're all different, except for the stock index futures. They're all kind of have their own little nuances. And not everybody has a Pete Molmat walking around. Yesterday, one of our viewers wrote to me and they said, hey, when do I roll my, with some kind of debt product? And I'm like, I'm not exactly sure. I couldn't remember if it was 21 days or 31 days. So I went out to the trade desk and I asked, hey guys, when do these roll? They're like, I gotta look it up. You know, like everybody's like, nobody really, I go, where's Pete Molmat? They go, he's right over there. I go, Pete, when do they roll? 31 days. I'm like, perfect. So he's like, how does Pete know everything? I go, I don't know. I never been able to figure out how he knows everything, but he knows everything. And so futures rolls are hard. I roll when I get the notice from our team and it says it's the first roll date. That's when I roll. Options are easy, but futures. Now, somebody also emailed me and said, hey, what if I don't roll? What happens with the futures? You don't have a choice in the futures world. You either close or roll. And if you don't, we close them for you. Because there is no such thing as taking delivery anymore. I mean, if they're cash settled, you can hold it to the end. Like if you have SPX or, I'm sorry, ES, NDX, I'm sorry, ES, NQ, RTY, or DJX, I'm sorry, or YM. Those are the three. Those are the four index futures. Those will settle to cash. And also, I believe natural gas now settles to cash, but those are the only ones. And those are on a quarterly basis only. Everything else settles to futures, and meaning futures settle to futures in the option world. But the futures themselves, if they don't settle to cash, we force you to close them. There is no taking delivery anymore. Let's go to the next slide. And every firm does that.
You're saying there's a chance.
There is no chance. Is it possible to trade the Japanese yen versus the US dollar using FXY and UUP? And if so, what would the ratio be?
I'm gonna guess because I don't know the answer, and when I don't know the answer, I would send an email to support at tastytrade.com and have them answer. But I think it's 1-to-1.
Yes. First of all, the first part of the question is, and they just hit the bonds for some reason.
Yeah, 114.10. Low is 08.
Yeah. So I'm gonna just put some bond bids in below because I'm a buyer on bonds on any.
The S&P is still up 33, but they are $10 off of their highs.
I just put some bond bids in below just to see if we can scoopy or maybe a low tick in here. Couple things. First thing, is it possible to trade the Japanese yen versus the US dollar using FXI and UUP? And the answer is of course. FXY is the Japanese yen, UUP is the dollar. And so sure, you can do that. The ratio, you would have to do vol-adjusted notional. So I don't know what FXY is trading for. My guess is this is incredibly capital efficient, inefficient.
UUP is like under 10. And
UUP is under 10?
Monthly implied volatility, it's 9.5.
Oh, no, but what's the trading for? What's the price, like 30 bucks or something?
Yeah, $28.
28 bucks, okay. And what's
the... Almost 60 for XFY. So you're going to do it 2 to 1? And 6 to 5.
So it's 2 to 1, I'm guessing it's 2 to 1.
But FXY volatility is 15.
And what's UUP?
9.5, 10.
So it's 3-to-1. If you do it vol adjusted, I have to figure out the numbers exactly, but at the top of my head, it's 2.5 or 3-to-1.
Three
UUP shares to one FXY share. All you do is take the current price, which is 28 and 60, let's say, and multiply it by the implied volatility, which is 10 and 15, and then get to an even number, and that would be the ratio. It's probably somewhere like between 2.5 or 3-to-1.
Right. I should have done my own work.
Yep. Let's go to the next slide. In your experience, how much higher is your theta capture rate? Is your theta capture rate by being as aggressive as you are with adjustments versus the normal 25% capture rate?
I don't understand what they mean here.
Okay. So what they mean in this case is...
Oh, because you adjust a lot more?
Because we adjust a lot more. So are we capturing a higher rate of theta than somebody that doesn't adjust?
Right. I think it's got to, I mean, I don't know the, I mean, I don't know, how would you figure out the answer? I would imagine it works out to be around the same, but
I would imagine that the theta capture when you're super aggressive like we are is not any higher than a normal capture rate. In fact, I would probably argue that it may be a little bit less, not more. I think it may be a little bit less, so it might be lower, not higher, because you're spending more money and keeping your delta ranges much lower. So I'm going to guess that in my experience, the capture rate by being aggressive is slightly lower, not higher, than when you make a lot of adjustments than when you don't make very many adjustments. Those dings you heard are me buying some bonds.
09.
09. And
notes too, right?
Did I get filled in the notes?
728.
Okay, so /ZN. And if you're wondering why am I buying these here, the answer
is... Because you expect them to go higher.
Yes.
Immediately, if not sooner.
And also because I sold them out yesterday.
That flattened you out from your scalp.
Yes, now I'm back in. So let's go next slide. So why are the premiums for SPY, SPX, and ES different? If you look at the same delta on all three, shouldn't the premium collected be about the same?
Well, SPY is 100 shares. SPX is the equivalent of 1,000 shares of SPY. And ES is $50 a point.
That is not the question. The question is premiums. So if you were to...
Well, that would make the premium different in each one, wouldn't it?
No. So if you were to sell, just as an example, if you were doing an iron condor that has essentially the same strikes, the premium is going to be the same. It's just going to be 1/10 the size. So ES is going to be... So the SPX, let's call the SPX is X. The ES is half of SPX. And the SPY is 1/10 of SPX. Okay, that's how it works. But why would the premiums be different? And the answer is, they're really not different.
There's one extra day in SPY.
But right, we're going to get to this. But there's little nuances. SPY has a full extra day. It doesn't expire till the close, where an ES and SPX expire on the opening.
Also, so stock settled.
So there's an extra day of premium. There's also exercise and assignment risk in the SPY, which you don't have in the SPX and the ES. There is also, there's assignment risk, there's dividend risk, there's lots of other things in the SPY that make it a slightly different product than the SPX and the ES. With respect to the ES, you have things like, hey, am I going to be assigned into the underlying future? So there's a little bit of nuance differences, but there are no what we call major differences. Okay, so again, there's going to be little tiny discrepancies in price, especially in the SPY to the SPX and the ES, but essentially they are all the exact same product, just different sizes. Let's go next slide. So I sell a lot of covered calls, and sometimes I get to 50% of profit on the call side in just a few days. Sure, because the stock can go down. So I'm not sure what to do when that happens, and we're nowhere near 21 DTE. It seems like holding to 21 DT introduces the risk of giving back some of that 50%. But closing and waiting to get close to the 45 DT until the next cycle doesn't make sense to me either. So how do you handle the situation where you're up money, you do a covered call, the stock goes down, you up money on your call, you're down money on your stock, but you're up money on your call. How do you handle that situation?
The totality of the trade is the...
Yep. How do you handle that situation?
Right, well... I mean, I don't mean to sound strong here, but you have to look at the whole trade and not just the hedged part of your position. When the stock goes lower and you make money on your call, that's helping you lose less. You're not making money. It's a bullish position. Long stock, short call is a bullish position. And if you're just making money on the call but losing twice as much on the stock, it's not 50% on the call. Matter of fact, what I would be looking to do in a situation like this is, if my call gets too far out of the money, I'd be looking to roll down the call to stay in the position till 21 days, then close the position and roll out to the back month.
So what we do typically in this situation, when we're long stock and short calls, and the short call comes in the first couple of days, that means the stock has dropped. So
that means you were wrong.
Yeah. So because this is a bullish position. Mm-hmm. And so you're really not, I know the call gets to 50%. But that doesn't mean anything to us.
You wanted the call to be 100% loser.
Yeah, that doesn't mean anything to us. So what we do is we roll the call down, just like Tony said. We don't roll out in time. We're not going to recenter, do anything like that. We are simply going to roll the call down. So whatever strike we had on.
That's going to try to buy us more time to be right.
We're going to take it down to the next strike. That's right. We're going to keep rolling it down. Yeah, that's going to make it tougher to get back to even and things like that.
In this little cycle that you're in, but
that's what we
do. It's not working.
But that's what we do. When the stock goes down, we get there. Now, if the stock's up and the call goes to 50%, we take profits or roll out in time. Let's go next slide.
Roll out in time if we were still bullish on the stock.
And the last slide. At what level of portfolio beta-weighted deltas do you think is appropriate? I've seen that you recommend having some short delta, and on days like Tuesday, it helped, but I'm not sure how much short delta I should carry.
I mean, this is really pretty subjective, and we've kind of waffled back and forth depending on market, you know, your market opinion. When we were at highs and maybe even went higher, we were looking to be short a little bit more deltas than normal. But that was just our own directional bias from us. We would look to be short, you know, 100 deltas to 2 times theta. That's what we were kind of looking.
So,
1 to 2 would be about as heavy as you wanted to be, right?
this really depends on where you think the stock market is in terms of, you know, kind of the big
Your
picture
bias on the market.
and your bias. When the market's near highs, I like to have short delta, almost 100 to 300 short deltas per 100,000, because I want to cover the short premium that I have. So when volatility is cheap, I like to carry short delta. When we've had a big sell-off, then I get much flatter. So I think at a maximum level, it's 1 to 300 per 100,000. At a minimum level, it's, you know, let's call it 50 per 100,000 delta, beta weighted deltas. How's that?
Fine.
50 to 300 would be my range. 100 to 200 is kind of the area we live in.
Let's take a quick 90-second break and come back. We got more Tasty Live after this with Trades from the research team next.
The content of this podcast is created, produced, and provided solely by Tasty Live Inc. and does not represent the direct views or opinions of any of its affiliated companies. This content is for informational and educational purposes only. It is not, nor is it intended to be trading or investment advice or a recommendation that any security, futures contract, digital asset, other product, transaction, or investment strategy is suitable for any person. Trading securities, futures products, and digital assets involve risk and may result in a loss greater than the original amount invested. Tasty Live Inc., through its content, financial programming, or otherwise, does not provide investment or financial advice or make investment recommendations. The information provided may not be appropriate for all investors and is provided without respect to individual investor financial sophistication, financial situation, investing time horizon, or risk tolerance. Tasty Live Inc. is not a licensed financial advisor, registered investment advisor, registered broker-dealer, or registered introducing broker.